Time now to look through the window of baseball. A little bit cloudy out there today, but where he is, it's always the sun is always shining for Bruce Jenkins. We do it for Truett & White, the professional builder's choice, and Marvin Windows and Doors. Bruce, thanks for bearing with us this morning. I wanted to get that Arenado on, so how are you?
Hey, Bruce.
Good, yeah. Arenado, I heard you guys talking about it. I wrote something to that effect a couple of weeks ago. He's definitely right there. To me, he's the number three guy in the game, mm-hmm. and we've seen him so many times against the Giants. But I'm doing fine, thanks.
All right. How's Tim Lincecum doing?
Well, good question. I mean, John Shea went pretty strong in the paper that the Giants aren't going to be interested, and he's going to be looking elsewhere. I don't know if you can completely rule out the Giants or not, but, you know, it was a little bit strange. I mean, he's wearing shorts, and there's no hitter, and there's nobody behind him.
Just,
you know, looked like a guy basically just warming up. But, you know, at least he let people know that his body's loose and limber, and his dad's talking about him walking on his hands 20 feet and back. And, you know, physically fine. He hit 91 on one of the guns, and the breaking ball had some bite. He's definitely going to help somebody, and there's a lot of teams that need help right now.
Bruce, I don't know how deep you go on investigative journalism, but we need to find out what was in the mysterious Nike box. The shoebox.
Yeah, it was more than cookies and baseballs, I think.
Hey, it was a weird scene, but... boy, I would like to see him get a job as soon as possible just because I enjoy watching him pitch. And it sounded to me like that he's pretty stubborn that he wants to drop right into a starting rotation, that he's not into going to AAA. Now, he said all the right things. And, boy, what do you think? California Angels or the Angels of Los Angeles? What do you think, Bruce?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's so many places where there's a glaring need. I mean, the Angels, they lose Richards. They're probably going to lose Haney. Wilson's on the DL. Mm-hmm. Weaver's velocity's down. They're in danger of falling completely out of the race, and probably would whether they had Lincecum or not, but there's a spot there. Arizona's rotation's been horrible. The Dodgers have a big gap there. You know, there's a lot of teams that are looking at them, and you know, obviously the Giants have two spots in their rotation that are just unspeakably bad right now. So I don't blame him for wanting to be a starter. He's always been a starter. There's so much uncertainty when it comes to relief. You know, we remember him warming up with like 8 or 9 pitches and then coming in and pitching heroic relief for the Giants in the postseason, but I don't think that's how he'd like to make his living at this stage of his life.
No, Bruce Jenkins with us. You know, the other part, Bruce, you know, you can't forget for a couple of years he was one of the worst statistical pitchers in the National League as a starting pitcher. Now he's had the surgery, and maybe that'll help him get some flexibility back. But who knows what he has from start to start, and plus he's coming off surgery. It would be a risk for a team to get him. Now, a team, and I think he was smart in not having the showcase until now, because now all of a sudden there's 6 teams that need a starting pitcher.
Yeah.
But, boy, it is a roll of the dice. This is no gimme to say this is Timmy from 2010.
It's not a 6-inch putt.
No.
And I can understand the Giants' reluctance. I mean, you know, there's a lot of sentiment involved, and the fans, you know, want their Timmy back. But, you know, it's also awkward if you're talking about him replacing two of his, you know, two good friends. You know, he and Kane go so far back. You know, if it didn't work out, it would be really, really kind of clumsy. So I can understand, you know, why they're backing off this a little bit. I guess you can't rule them out entirely, but it seems pretty unlikely they don't wind up here. I just hope that he... you know, what'll really be telling, he's going to sign with somebody, and then he's going to pitch for about a month in the minor leagues, and then we'll really get an idea where he's at.
Yeah.
Well, Bruce, let me just say, what do you do with Jake Peavy and Matt Cain? I mean, you can't come up with an injury today, or maybe you can't. And then Marty was talking about how you stagger them, right? Because I think there's a psychological effect of having those guys back-to-back. But what does Bruce Jenkins do with the back end of the Giants' rotation?
Well, and whether you stagger them or not, they're still going to be who they are. I like the idea of keeping those top three guys in order, because if you need to set it up for a certain series, you know, tweak it a little bit, but make sure you got those three guys going 1, 2, 3 in a big series down the line. But wherever they pitch in the rotation, they're throwing fastballs right down the middle, and they're hanging breaking balls routinely. They're getting absolutely crushed, and you know, nobody appreciates these guys more than I do, and I've kind of been on the side of, you know, wait this thing out. It's, you know, the Giants' loyalty is admirable. But, you know, you can't have this. You can't have these massive innings where the games are just gone, like, right away, and no matter even a big inning on your side may not revive it. So I don't know. I mean, it's really tough. There's no real answer in the minor leagues. You kind of have to stick with him for a while, but I don't really see it improving. I really don't. And you know, you're going to have to try and stay in the race until the trading market heats up, you know, in this June and July, and see what you can do there.
Yeah, I don't know if it could go that far. I mean, you know, you can't just get blasted every game.
Yeah.
You know, you have to keep your team in the game. That's the story of a fifth starter. But when your fourth starter's getting blasted and they're back-to-back, it can't happen. You just can't have that going on. So I don't know how they're going to deal with it. But it's not fantasy baseball where you could just say, All right, you know, we're going to get rid of him and pick up John Danks tomorrow. It doesn't work like that.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, I'm sure they'll be – I don't think they're going to get just, you know, summarily tormented every outing as it goes on. They each of them might toss in a gem here. You know, and by that I mean six innings with just a couple of runs allowed. So that's kind of what they're hoping for. You know, the clubhouse is pulling hard for those guys to stay in there and right the ship. And that's kind of what the Giants are all about. But it's a really delicate situation. It's not one they've really faced. It's not quite like this in these recent years of all the success they've had.
This week we had another manager pull a guy who's pitching a no-hitter.
Yep.
How about that?
it
happens like
now.
Every week now.
Yeah, it's the thing to do. It. By all means, if a guy's a no-hitter, that's your sign to get him out of there.
It's getting weirder, Bruce. And in addition, you have, obviously, Marty's mentioning that you're working the Three Dot Lounge today in the Chronicle. Phenomenal. But another weird pull last night from Matheny and the Cardinals. Carlos Martinez for, quote, fatigue.
Yeah, what was that all about?
And Bruce, it's just getting weirder and weirder. Now, obviously, I was reading that there's something going around in the Cardinal clubhouse, but
yeah.
I've never heard of a starter who pitches every fifth day getting pulled for fatigue. What's going on?
Yeah, well, I mean, every case is different. You can't throw, you know, the Marlins kid in there with the Cardinals guy. You know, you don't know quite what's going on behind the scenes if a guy has privately confided that he's feeling a little stress in his elbow or whatever. The Marlins kid, was his name Conley?
Adam Conley, yeah.
Adam Conley, who pitched another great game after that, by the way. I mean, this was a kid who was just a live wire. He was, like, arriving right there on the scene, you know, and he was so ready to finish that game, it was ridiculous. Other cases, you know, maybe not. Maybe, you know, if you walk the first two guys in an inning or he's out there shaking his arm like something's going on. But the general, what Eric Burns calls the worry culture, is really overbearing to me. I mean, and it always comes back to, if a guy's pitching a great game, he's not in trouble, he's loose and easy, everything's going great, the fans are into it, and you pull him, sorry, don't get it.
Did you see David Ortiz last night?
I have yet to get around to the highlights this morning, but I've got quick pitch on my DVR.
Please.
He went ballistic.
Bruce, you have to see it.
Yeah, I will.
Definitely. I mean, you know, we don't see the managers do it anymore. You know, no one, Lou Piniella's not throwing a base. Leo DeRocher's not kicking Jocko Conlin in the shins. And Earl Weaver and Billy Martin's not turning his hat around. And Ron Luciano. We don't have it anymore. But what David Ortiz did last night was a throwback of what baseball used to be. He went nuts last night on a couple of strike calls.
Yeah, it's a fine line. But if you're a natural-born showman, it's hilarious, and it's always been a great part of the game. It's not something that happens every night. That would be tedious and completely inappropriate. But when somebody has just had enough and has blown a stack, like you just mentioned, Billy Martin, Lou Piniella, Earl Weaver, these guys were just phenomenal. And, you know, they were putting on a show. There were some reasons behind it. They want to shake up the club or whatever it was, but. You got to be able to pull it off, and if you don't have the right gestures and the timing, it's like anything, like being a bad stand-up comic. They're going to boo you off the stage.
Yeah, and Bruce, too, you know, they have all these websites that you can access via Twitter, and they have these thermal imaging that you can see. And the pitch, he got called out on a third strike that was 5.5 inches south of the strike zone. And it's undermining the umpires, but it's something that we've known all along. These guys get a lot of them wrong, and so I'm not typically a big David Ortiz fan, but he was justified in his moaning last night. So,
You know what? I did see that pitch. Somebody just had a quick video of it, and it was ridiculous. I mean, it wasn't a strike in a million years, but I didn't see the aftermath of it. I'll be sure to catch up on that.
Yeah, this is something you'll like. Yeah. One last thing. The San Jose Giants, they've got some players down there. And you mentioned one today, and that is Chris Shaw, who I love. He's, I think, second in the league in RBIs, leading the league in doubles. Steven Duggar's got a triple last night. Andrew Suarez is pitching well. San Jose's got some players. They seem like they always have players.
I was just going to say that. It's always been a good idea to go down there. I remember hearing about a kid named Sandoval down there. He was hitting like 380, you know, and the Cal League is very good ball, and most of the Giants' good prospects pass through there. I'd like to go down and get a look at Chris Shaw. I wish he could pitch, but he's a power hitter, and he's a first baseman, so there's really no place for him. I don't think he can play anywhere else on the diamond, but he's a guy that maybe they can offer up in trade. I mean, he's a legitimate power hitter. He always has been, and he's producing now, so there's no sign that he's any kind of fluke.
Boy, I like it. All right, what's up for you today, Bruce?
Oh, man. Well, it's prom night here in the household at Halfway Bay High.
Nice.
Congratulations.
So
we're going to want to make sure that goes well for Molly while we're juggling the Warriors and the Giants and the A's and the Kentucky Derby, for God's sake.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So it's very busy.
You have the camera. I always like the scene out of Coneheads. You know, where Chris Farley comes in and the Coneheads take the picture of him and the guy's face turns completely red. Because the flash bulbs are like from Mars, you know, that kind of thing.
I think we're going to be the Loud family. Well, I don't know why you're going out with this guy.
Hey, you guys are known for your discussions on Solly Hemus, but let it be known, I'm saying it loud and clear on 60,000 watts. You two guys know your pop culture, all right?
I'm a big SNL guy. I've got volumes of great bits from them. They always seem to come up. But like today, for example, and once again, the Coneheads, perfect reference.
All right, have a good day, and congratulations on Molly and the prom.
Right on, Bruce.
Oh, thanks, guys. Talk soon.
All right, bye-bye.
Well, Marty, I'm surprised we didn't have time, but the Cubs being a plus 98, 28 games or whatever, never seen in the World Series era. Going back, I mean, the 1903 Yankees didn't have this kind of plus-minus. So.
No, it's crazy. Right. It's absolutely crazy. And the Cubs are coming here.
I'm excited.
Come on. We're here. Yeah. That's one of our weekends. It'll be good. All right. More coming up. We got a lot to do. Get ready.
Yep.
We're going to think about maybe qualifying someone for a vehicle.
Yep.
We'll do that in our next segment right now. KMBR 680.